Ah, my friends, that is the sound of not the static on your radio. No, no, no. That is the sound of sizzling, which can only be found on Chef of the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, because we are the only true theater of the mind, culinary, actual cooking radio show in the world. And we are thrilled to have Eugenia Bone all the way down from below 14th Street in New York and from the mountains of Colorado, where she grows Christmas trees, which we will not talk about any further because it's illegal to grow Christmas. It is legal to grow Christmas trees in Colorado. But anyway, this is an amazing, amazing dish. We've done the curds. We've done the whey. I'm not going to weigh in with any more jokes.
No.
I refuse to. I absolutely refuse to. It's too easy. But now, the pork tenderloins, you got them in three nice strips in this beautiful pan. So what are you going to do now? Chef Eric spent the last 2 hours preparing your shallots.
That's right. And then, jarring them.
And then putting them in this cute little jar.
I've even labeled them for
you. Yes.
Look, it has an expiration date. Thanks, Chef.
You know, you got to do that, right? When you put something in the walk-in, you got to have it all.
Shall we?
How much do you put in there?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think you can put in as much as you want, but I'm going to put in about 2 tablespoons.
Okay.
That's enough.
Heaping
tablespoons.
Well, you know, now that I'm here, I always want to put more of every, you know, bump it up.
Why not?
Right. Why not? So the idea is you can use a little chopped onion. You could use some chopped garlic. The idea is just to get that nice savory flavor in there.
You could use some real sweet Vidalia onions from Truman Produce.
That would be the ultimate.
Yeah,
we would have brought you some, but we just got our supply in and we're not sharing.
That's right.
Well,
that's
we're waiting for them in New York, so. Okay. So they're just taking on some heat, you know, especially since these are pre-cut. They are already pretty soft, you know. So now I'm going to throw in some rosemary. Usually I call for 1 3-inch piece, but I'm throwing in 3 3-inch pieces.
Wow, you're living on the top of the world.
It's because, you know, I'm just inspired by you guys. Just the whole gigantic.
Better, really.
that's right. When she looks at us, that's
big
all she
portions.
Can think of. That's right.
So I'm throwing in some bay leaves.
You can smell it through the fresh as opposed to the dry.
The bay leaf, the rosemary, the shallots, and now.
Here. Actually, let me do this.
You're going to?
This is the way, and it goes on top. Of the meat.
Felt good saying that, didn't it?
It did. A little bit.
So you do need to try to keep the meat mostly covered in the whey. And you'll see that the whey turns, it picks up some of this, what they call the sucks, you know, the brown stuff stuck on the bottom of the pan. It'll take on some of that color. So right now.
That smells so good.
Yeah, it smells really good.
You know what? I want to add a little flour to it, put it over some mashed spuds. And just dig into the pork.
You know what? You don't need to add flour because as you reduce it, it becomes like caramel.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like savory caramel sauce.
I am in love.
For the pork. I know. It's pretty yummy. That's the Italians. They know what they're doing.
Oh, they do.
We're over a medium heat at this point, so when we brought the shallots in, we brought the heat down a little bit.
Yeah. Just because also this oven is, like, powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, much more powerful than mine and you know, that's just like
talk to your husband about
in
that.
New York City.
Really tell him. Say, listen, I'm tired of working on this weenie stove.
Yeah, we got a lot of those kind of things. Anyway.
Hey, can we cause familiar disputes right here on Chef and the Fat Man? Yes, we do it amongst ourselves. Might as well our celebrities. That looks great.
So now the whey is boiling. So I'm just going to turn it down to low and cover the pot. And it's really braising. It's not totally poaching because we're not covered.
Mm-hmm.
But you could. If you only had one little piece of tenderloin, you use all your whey. Why not?
Sure.
You know, doesn't matter.
Now, would you ever mix the whey with
like wine,
else, with red
or
wine or something?
Why not?
Or white wine?
Why not?
Okay. I agree.
I mean, the recipe, the classic, I don't know that it calls for that. I'm under the impression that this is all it is. But you don't know until you try, and so what? It can't be that bad. If you add wine to something, I never know a situation where it doesn't really work out pretty well.
Especially if you try the wine before
if you're braising, right? So, I mean, maybe not for this dish, but maybe for an osso buco, oxtails,
Or you could add chicken stock. Let's say you don't have enough whey. You know, let's say you only have 2 cups of whey and you got a lot of pork.
And the chicken stock.
So put chicken stock in there.
Yeah. Or vegetable stock.
Yeah, or vegetable stock.
And this is really very typical of what your book is all about, the kitchen ecosystem, the integrating recipes to create delicious meals. And what this, but you really are a proponent, and this is what the kitchen ecosystem is all about. Not only do you get this wonderful cookbook, but you can also get the addendum, which can be sent to you.
Oh,
yes,
you got the addendum.
Yeah, I got the addendum.
It's
which
wacky.
Is yes, which is so cool because you list almost every ingredient you can substitute for every one of the recipes in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
That, yeah, it's oh. It was one of those insane projects that you take on and you, it, yeah.
What a great
the
idea.
Time. But the time it took. And yeah, I mean TIME.
Yeah.
You know, not to confuse nutty. With the yeah.
But it's great because, you know, to me if you can't the first of all, if the all recipe development, in my opinion, is based on substitutions. You know, that's where chefs mm-hmm. and cookbook writers, that's where we're
yeah.
coming from.
Yeah.
So to be able to be flexible in your own kitchen that way is fabulous. So if you have a recipe for an apricot tart and somebody helps you say, hey, you can do it with all of these other fruits, you know, then all of a sudden you're dealing with a method.
Yeah, your repertoire is much bigger at that point.
Right.
It's a technique, it's a preparation.
Plus it moves it from region to region.
It does, and season to season.
That's right. And that's another thing that you stress very much in this book. It's all about local.
Yeah.
And in fact, when we were discussing the recipes, you wanted to know what was local, and we sent you a list so you could choose. You wanted to actually cook your recipes today on things that were more locally available. And this is really, this book is just chock full of recipes. And that's another thing. You've got more recipes, way more recipes than the standard cookbook does.
I know.
And that is yeah. awesome. And I'm sure your publisher was thrilled to know that they were giving more for less.
Yeah.
And you were trying to keep the price down, which
yeah.
I'm sure they didn't want to hear either.
Well, you know, I base the kitchen ecosystem, the notion of it, the writing of the books, all coming from an authentic place. It's not like I'm meeting with my agent saying what's on trend right now. So it's all what I really do. And one of the things that I can't stand is when I buy a cookbook and there's only 100 recipes in it.
Because that's a standard cookbook anymore.
It drives me crazy. I want, like, recipes. I want to have choices. Because the chances that I'm going to be able to walk away with a handful of recipes out of a book with 100 offerings is less than if the book has got 400 offerings.
It's not scratch and sniff, Chef Eric.
No,
I mean, he's actually sniffing the pictures.
Yeah.
It's just rude.
Yeah. No, I don't know what to think of that.
I'm in the print industry.
Right? Oh, he's checking it out. He's in the high-speed
print industry.
I think
it was made in China.
Done on press.
Printed in.
Yeah.
But so in the book, so the only approach that made sense is to not list, you know, appetizers, first course, second course, and so on, but to approach it by ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
So each, there's 40 ingredients, you know, apples to zucchini, including pork and fish and shellfish and chicken, all that. And
you really cover the gamut.
Yeah, I try
this
to.
This is amazing. I mean, as I'm flipping through here, you've got sections on just recipes with cabbage. Mm-hmm. Recipes with beets,
yeah.
with
yeah.
peas. I know your favorite.
Yes.
But it's
peppers.
Also like fresh ones,
yeah.
fresh recipes, preserved recipes, all small batch.
Right.
Small enough for you to do at the same time as you're cooking dinner anyway.
Right.
And then using the preserves, because what's the point of having the preserve if you're not using it,
use
you know?
Yeah.
And then using the waste stream.
Yeah.
So, like in the what we're doing today is the primary is the ricotta, but the at the whey is the waste stream.
Chef Eric.
Right.
Thou shalt not covet the host's copy.
I'm sorry.
I'll send you one, dude.
See, that's the tough part about it. I have to decide what I think will be worthy of your... So this one I thought would be really worthwhile. And I have not seen you tear into a cookbook like you have. Just
this
remember,
is really well done.
That is mine.
Thank
yes.
you.
It's
Thank
laid
you very
out
much.
Very nicely. It's,
yes.
It's, but I like that concept of being able to show sort of the continuum of what you do
yeah,
with this.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense to cook a discrete dinner every night. That's just inefficient. You have to buy all the stuff.
Yeah.
You usually have to do a reductive recipe
right.
because you can't use a lot of homemade ingredients because mm-hmm. you're just cooking a discrete dinner that night. Like, let's say I'm doing pad thai tonight,
right.
paella tomorrow night, and, you know, spaghetti with meatballs the next night. That's just not efficient.
Right.
But if you are, if you're making a dinner tonight and at the same time making something simple and small, but at the same time making something that's going to inform dinner the next night, you always know what you're going to make. And you always have something fresh and homemade that's the basis of it.
Right.
And I think that's the secret to tasty food.
I mean, how many cookbooks have you opened where there's a recipe for fried salmon skin?
Yes.
Now,
but it's
it.
Yummy and cheap.
Think about it.
Comes on the
throw
salmon.
Away the skin,
throw
this.
Throw away this. Not if you're Eugenia Bone and not if you have her book, The Kitchen Ecosystem. You would not throw anything away because you would find that so many things are so useful in setting you up for the next day and the day afterwards. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about the fact that, now I know when people hear this, they're automatically going to freak out and say, oh my God, I don't have all day to spend in the kitchen like Eugenia. No, this isn't all day. It's when you're cooking something in the kitchen, you're going to be there 30 minutes anyway.
Right.
There's a lot of downtime during that 30 minutes. Instead of sitting down, start a couple things for the next day,
right.
And pretty soon, before you know it, it'll be time for a commercial break. Chef and a Fat Man, live from Cook's Warehouse,
away
up in Marietta, Georgia, baby.